there today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Now, Gardaí are appealing for information as two men were stabbed on Bridge Street in Kilcock on Tuesday morning. And I'm joined on the line now by Garda Jenny Finnegan from Leixlip Garda Station, who's been taking a look at and investigating this incident. Jenny, good morning and thanks for joining us. You might bring us up to date then on what happened and what we know so far.
Yeah, good morning, Owen. So basically, Tuesday just gone, so the 30th, between 10:45 a.m. to 11, two males received stab wound injuries from an incident that occurred in Kilcock. So we're focusing on a number of areas in Kilcock. So we believe these males were hanging around the train station area or the canal by the train station. And then the incident actually occurred on Bridge Street. So there was four males involved, two males received injuries, and two males were arrested at scene. We're appealing to any witnesses who may have been in that area, may have been passing through. They may have dash cam footage. They may have seen these males hanging around the train station area prior to this incident. We want them to contact Leixlip Garda Station with any information.
Okay, now just to clarify then, the two males that received these stab wounds, as I understand it, Jennifer, one was aged in his early 20s, the other was a juvenile teenager. They were both removed from the scene to Naas General Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. There were arrests made on Tuesday, weren't there?
There were. There was two males arrested, one juvenile and one male in his early 20s, and they've been released pending a file to the Director of Public Prosecution.
Okay, so Gardaí again appealing for any witnesses to that assault to come forward, any road users, pedestrians who may have camera footage, including dash cam, to make it available to Gardaí. You can contact Leixlip Garda Station on 049 436 8800, the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111. Just remind us again then, Jenny, these areas that you're focusing on in Kilcock and the particular time frame then again.
Yeah, so the incident occurred at approximately 11 a.m. So we'd be appealing for anyone who was in that area between, say, 10:30 and 11, around the train station, the canal and Bridge Street. So if they've seen four males, two males hanging around, please contact us at Leixlip.
Okay, thanks to Garda Jenny Finnegan there of Leixlip Garda Station for bringing us up to date there, and with that appeal, very serious incident there that happened at around the train station and Bridge Street in Kilcock. Good morning to you, Jenny, and thanks for joining us. Now, pregnant women or new mothers are most likely to die at the hands of their partner or former partner. That's according to a study into domestic homicides. An independent report into domestic murders and familicide published on Wednesday has recommended that a new agency is set up for domestic, sexual and gender-based violence. Well, I'm joined now by Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid. Sarah, thanks for joining us on the show again.
Good morning, Owen, and morning to your audience.
Just take us through maybe the findings from this report, but also those terms that I mentioned there, familicide. And I know when we mentioned this on the show yesterday and throughout the day on our news bulletins, we had a couple of messages and phone calls in from people asking to explain what that term actually meant, because it might be new to some people. Yeah. So could you take it through us?
Absolutely. Well, what I will say first is that this is an enormous report. It is a landmark study, independent study that was commissioned by the Department of Justice. It runs to 488 pages and over 200 recommendations. So having only received it late a day ago, I'm still wading through the fine detail of it, but I was on the advisory for it, and it is landmark in a few different ways because it brings together international data on familicide, which I'll explain in a moment, and domestic violence or domestic homicide deaths, and other jurisdictions which have set up structures to try and prevent these, including things like reviews, violent death reviews. It took input from a number of bereaved families, and, you know, I'd always just want to pay tribute to the courage you know, honesty and time that they took to contribute to it, and also then to the authors, Maura Butler, who picked up the baton after, sadly, Nora Gibbons, who was a tireless campaigner, particularly for children's rights, had been tasked and sadly passed away. So it's taken some time to complete, but now it's here. And what it hopes to do is to recommend a range of different things to help us learn maybe from past tragedies, but also to better support bereaved families and communities when these things happen as well. Domestic violence death is kind of self-explanatory. That is where there is a death where domestic violence is a factor. Most commonly in these instances, it is women who are murdered at the hands of current or former partners, and in some cases children alongside with them. Familicide is where there is a violent death and the relationship is a familial one. So that could be an adult child, for example, killing a parent or a sibling, or in some cases, a parent killing their children. And there may or may not be domestic violence as a factor there. You know, it could, for example, you know, there could be mental health as a factor and things like that. So it's just to explain, it is a death. Both categories are violent deaths that occur where there is an intimate or a family relationship. One is where there is also a factor of domestic violence.
Okay, and as we know, domestic violence can affect both men and women, but this study found that without exception, women are at the greatest risk of being victims of domestic homicide, and most often it's committed by a partner or a former partner. And this study was launched 3 years after school teacher Alan Hall murdered his wife Clodagh and the couple's three children at their County Cavan home, and a lot of people will remember the devastation that that caused and the shock really that it caused up and down the country. Really though, as well, Sarah, the most common risk factors for a domestic murder is a previous history of domestic violence followed closely by actual or pending separation. So we need to probably deal with these things at the root, look at the risk factors and try and get to it as soon as we can.
Absolutely, you're quite right. And look, just to acknowledge, yes, absolutely, domestic abuse can occur in all relationships, so not just heterosexual ones, and of course men can suffer as well. But the data is consistent all across the world in that the severity of domestic abuse, including the risk of death, is overwhelmingly higher for women. Women are much, much more likely to die in the context of a domestic violence relationship than men. And so the findings here are no surprise. Of course, there are, as I mentioned, other factors that can be in play, particularly, you know, where it's maybe a parent taking the life of their children. You know, there sometimes can be mental health and others. And tackling it at its root is fundamental. So we do have a very good third national domestic, sexual and gender-based violence strategy. The government have given priority to that. There's a lot of work to be done there. And one of the big pieces is prevention, and that includes kind of public awareness to help destigmatise this, to help better support victims and survivors come forward, to hold perpetrators more to account, to say that this is a zero-tolerance issue. There should be no acceptance of domestic abuse of any form in our communities. But then when we look at the hard edge here as well, what this report does, which is different to the national strategy, is it gives very clear roadmap for ways in which we can do better when, you know, the worst forms of violence do occur, or to prevent those. And this requires legislation. It requires, you know, mechanisms for us to share data in a way that respects privacy, but also recognises that us, you know, in terms of different agencies, you know, statutory agencies that can include health services, the Gardaí, specialist services like ours, if we operate in silos, we are missing opportunities to, you know, perhaps see red flags and warning signs earlier. We are missing opportunities for early intervention that could be preventative. So what's new and important about this study is it actually even sets out potential legislation that needs to be followed. So building on our domestic sexual and gender-based violence strategy, the government must now form a vehicle to actually carry this through. It's going to require more than the Department of Justice. It's going to impact all across government and society, and we need legislation that will, you know, stand alongside the general data protection regulation, but allow for proper sharing in the interests of saving lives in future.
Are we getting better, and are people getting better at coming forward, Sarah, do you find? Because a lot of people who are listening to the show this morning will be maybe of a generation where what happened behind closed doors stayed behind closed doors because of maybe the shame it might bring on families, the stigma around it. But as we have conversations like this and the work that you do at Women's Aid and Safe Ireland, Chock Charman, Men's Aid, the Men's Development Network, there's so much support out there now. Do you think people have more confidence coming forward, or are we still at a crossroads there?
I think there's still work to be done there. There are definitely, like, all of our services, and you've mentioned a few of them there, and I would mention our National Free Phone Helpline, which is 1-800-341-900. It can also directly call, connect somebody to their local service if they need, or, as you mentioned, if it's a man seeking support, the male advice line, it's another free phone number. We can give that information if they can't find it. So we would say to anybody, you know, not to wait until things feel like at a crisis point, but if something doesn't feel right in your relationship, reach out, you know, have a confidential conversation. No one's going to tell you what to do, but please don't be alone in this and feel like you have to suffer in silence. Because we do know that those who contact all our services are just the tip of the iceberg. Most will not know or feel able or feel entitled to contact a specialist service. That also goes for sexual violence services. So there is more to be done. At a community level, we know, you know, reaching out to families where, you know, then and equipping our communities to know, you know, how to open up a conversation and perhaps refer to a specialist service for help. We know from studies we've done that about a third of those who suffer domestic violence will tell nobody ever, you know, and that's not good enough, because one of the reasons is because of that stigma. And of course, and particularly for women, it's fear as well. But the stigma is something that is part of our community, that people feel sometimes that they can't talk about it. Maybe they won't be believed. You know, maybe, you know, they'll be told what to do, and so they're not sure what the response will be. But we are making real improvements, and actually a really landmark one, which will be coming into place in autumn, is a domestic violence leave for every workplace in the country. It's going to be on a statutory footing. That in and of itself is going to help destigmatise, because it'll be a policy, same as you have your sick leave policy, same as you have your annual leave policy, and that will hopefully open up opportunities for employers to actually be a resource and a support to those most at risk as well.
Of course, we've learned so much about domestic violence that it really is an umbrella term for physical abuse, financial abuse, coercive control, emotional control. There's so many different facets to it. I'll come back to you in a moment, Sarah. I just want to play a little bit of audio, if I can, from Dáil Éireann yesterday with Mary Lou MacDonald reacting to the report. And then we'll also get the response from Pascal Donoghue, just what the politicians thought of it being released yesterday.
Families have waited for so long already for these recommendations to come to light. So this groundbreaking report cannot be allowed to gather dust on a shelf or indeed be siphoned off to one department. We need to see urgency, a clear plan and a timeline for action, and that means an all-of-government approach. In the North, domestic violence homicide reviews have been in place for some time now, so the government might usefully look at what has worked well in the North and what can be improved so that families get the very best support possible. Tá an umarcad seolach scriosta de war fin waru mullam a bheachtas nir stain siad dá níreacht ag an réaltas cun córas cearta láidre a chur i bhfeim cun dulin lech leis na cuireanna u fásacha seo. Tá an tuarascáil ar an bhuiréigean seo foilsithe agus tá gealtainis haléire ag taistal óna teaghlaí seo go dtiocfaí athrú ar an gcóras. Minister, government has published this report. Can I ask, when will the recommendations become reality? Can I ask, will government ensure that this is implemented urgently so that families can get the support that they need without any further delay?
Thank Deputy MacDonald for raising what is an exceptionally sensitive and important report into the most difficult circumstances possible. When Minister Harris was briefing the government yesterday morning on this report, it just reminded me, and I'm sure has reminded all of us, that there are a set of tragic circumstances that I think are beyond the ability of most of us even to imagine. and we can only recognise the trauma and then the bravery of many who have to live with the consequences of such death and violence. And as Deputy MacDonald has done, I want to join with her in recognising the role of families who have engaged in this process and have done so in such a brave and such a dignified way. And their voices were so critical to the work that has now been carried out and to the publication of what has been a very, very substantial report. I'd also, Kian Corley, if I may, like to make reference and recognition to the former Minister for Justice and our current colleague, Deputy Charlie Flanagan, who responded back to this such tragic and complex phenomenon by commissioning this report and by putting in place the process that the Dáil is now raising here today. So to deal with the two issues that Deputy MacDonald raised there, and also with her important point there regarding that this has been a matter that is so important that it transcends the Department of Justice.
Yeah, that's Minister Pascal Donoghue responding to Mary Lou MacDonald. And Sarah, just to go back to you then and finish up on this, Minister for Justice Simon Harris said that the recommendations will now be implemented, including a new agency to support victims, improved education on the issues, better training for those most likely to encounter victims, and a Central Statistics Office study on the prevalence of domestic and intimate partner violence in Ireland. And I think Mary Lou MacDonald put it well, you know, it's all well and good bringing out these reports, but it can't be, you know, everybody tut-tutting, shaking their heads and then putting the report up on the shelf and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with everything that Deputy MacDonald has said, and actually one of the important things she alluded to, I had mentioned, is there are a number of very important recommendations which we don't believe would take enormous work or even investment from the Exchequer to ensure that there are wraparound supports put in place, crisis teams on standby, and resources for trauma counselling and support on a long-term basis for bereaved families and to support communities who can be fractured by these incidents as well. I welcome everything, of course, that Simon Harris has said, and some of those things actually had already been announced prior even to this report coming up. But what I would say is the heavy lifting in this report is down to stuff that requires legislation, particularly around data sharing, risk assessments, and that is where government needs to prioritise. That is going to be the difficult work. It is going to be, you know, tricky. We need to look at other jurisdictions. The UK had managed it for quite some time while they were also data protection compliant, but it will require legislation. So that does require a dedicated, we would say a focused implementation team that might sit, you know, might sit with Justice or it might sit with the Department of the Taoiseach, because it is going to have implications cross government and cross different agencies as well. So all welcome, but this is the answer we really want to know, is how is that piece of work going to be carried forward?
All right, listen, thanks for joining us on the show. As always, that's the CEO of Women's Aid. And just to give out the Women's Aid National Free Phone Helpline as well, it's 1800 341 900. That's 1800 341 900. And the Men's Aid number as well is confidential if you want to get in touch with them, 01554 3811. That's 01554 3811. And as always, you can call us here at KFM and we'll pass those numbers on to you in complete confidentiality as well. Thanks to Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid, for joining us this morning. Just before we take a break, police investigating the disappearance of Madeleine McCann have said that they recovered several items during last week's search operation in a Portuguese reservoir. The latest searches in Portugal were carried out after requests from German investigators. In June 2020, German police said that they believed Madeleine was dead and that suspect Christian B was likely responsible. In an update today, German prosecutors say the search operation carried out last week in the area of the Arad Reservoir in Portugal ended on Thursday after 3 days as planned. As previously precisely defined, area along the reservoir was completely searched for possible evidence. A number of items were seized as part of the operation. These will be evaluated in the coming days and weeks. It's not yet possible to say whether some of the items are actually related to the Madeleine McCann case. The office also thanked police from the UK, Portugal and staff at Germany's Federal Criminal Police Office for their excellent cooperation. Divers, of course, which we would have seen pictures of this online and on our news bulletins, they were seen entering the water and examining the surrounding scrubland in the three-day search that ended on the 25th of May. And the reservoir is located about 31 miles from where the British toddler went missing in the Praia da Luz area in the Algarve 16 years ago. The area was previously searched in 2008 after Portuguese lawyer Marcos Arago Carrera paid for specialist divers to check the site. And Christian B, who is, you know, a person of interest, is currently in prison for raping a 72-year-old woman in the same area of the Algarve region from where Madeleine McCann went missing, but has not been charged with any crime related to the disappearance, and he has always denied any involvement. So that's the latest news just breaking today in relation to that Madeleine McCann case.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Couple of messages coming in to us wishing my little sister Marie Harney a very happy birthday today. That comes in from her big brother Liam McEntee in Naas. Have a great day is the message there. And there was also another one here. And DJ says, could you please wish my mum and dad, Daniel and Sarah, a very happy wedding anniversary. It's their fourth wedding anniversary today. Forced wedding anniversary. Lots of hugs and kisses from DJ. So Daniel and Sarah, have a great day celebrating your fourth wedding anniversary today. Keep those messages coming in. 0833 97 97 97. If you were tuned in yesterday, you may have heard Eamon O'Connor, a listener from Coyle Dove, raising concerns that he came across a man in distress on the road in Strafan one of the nights last week. He tried to call 999, got through to the operator, but when the operator tried to connect him with the Garda station in Kildare, he couldn't get through. He was left on hold for 9 minutes. Well, Senator Mark Wall raised the issue of Garda numbers in the Shannon. Following that interview, we'll hear from Mark in a moment. But first off, just a reminder about what Eamon O'Connor told us on the show yesterday.
On Saturday night, I was working and I was after collecting some customers in Lucan and I was dropping them off in Clane. And we were travelling along the R403 between Barberstown and Clane, so just around the Bailbush area there. There was a couple of cars came towards us and they were flashing their lights at us, so kind of getting an indication, like it's 12:30 at night, so you're getting an indication that there's something on the road or something is wrong. So I'd done about another 400 or 500 metres, and on my right hand side, out the corner of my eye, I saw a body on the road. The two customers were sitting directly behind me, and I just said to them, I said, I think I'm after seeing the body. And they were said, are you serious? And I said, yeah. I said, what are we going to do? Well, I said, we wouldn't normally be stopping in situations where there's customers in the car, but we're going to have to turn around and we're going to have to just to see what the story is. So I went down as far as off at Sound Cross and I turned the bus around and I came back up and I stopped about 40 or 50 metres away from where the guy was. And he was actually lying straight across the road, out near the white line, on the side of the road going towards Barberstown. My two customers get out. I put my hazards on. Two customers get out and they went down to see them. And at that stage, I started to make a 999 call. So this is, as I said to you, it's around, I actually have a log on my phone. It's just 36 minutes past midnight, and I dial 999 to look for assistance. So I said, I'm going to need an ambulance and I'm going to need a Gardaí, because we didn't know whether he'd been injured at that stage or what was the story. The customer, anyway, gave me the indication that she could hear him breathing. So I relayed that to the operator that was to the ambulance dispatcher, and then she said to me, okay, she said, so we've established that, you know, he doesn't look injured and he's breathing. So she says, we've dispatched an ambulance, it's on the way. She says, what do you need now? Well, I said, I need to speak to the Gardaí. So she pushed me back to the operator and he was asking me, I said, yeah, I still need to speak to the Gardaí. So at that stage, he starts trying to connect me to the Gardaí until there. And every, I'd say, 20 seconds, he was coming back in saying to me, sorry, caller, I'm not in a position to connect your call. I'm going to try another number. And this went on. The duration of this call, on this 999 call, is 9 minutes. That's the duration of the call. I started to make the call at 0036, and the log on my phone tells me that the call ended at 0045. Okay. Now, I carry a second phone with me. So what I did was I get out the second phone and I said, and I stayed using the first phone and I dialed Naas Garda Station with the second phone. That was at 0045. That call lasted 36 seconds. It rang out the first time, but the second time it was answered almost immediately. And I said to them, I said, look, I told them exactly where I was, the situation we were in. And he said, yeah, we're aware of it. There's a car on the way. At that stage, I hung up then the other call, the 999 call, and I got a call back from a private number 2 minutes later at 0047 asking me the required assistance. At that stage, I explained to them that I'd been speaking to the Guardian Ace and there was a car on the way. So about 5 minutes later, the car did arrive and the two Gardaí examined your man and established that he was intoxicated. And they subsequently just pulled him in off the road and arrested him. I'm still playing those events over in my head, and I'm shocked that I couldn't get to speak to anybody. And like that call is recorded. So if any politician or anybody wants to come along and question me and say, oh, you know, I think you're being a little bit OTT, I was on that call for 9 minutes, and the operator kept cutting back in and saying, sorry, caller, I cannot connect you to the Gardaí until there. I'm going to try another number.
Okay, so that's Eamon O'Connor, a listener out in Coyle Dove. Well, after that interview, Senator Mark Wall raised the issue of Garda numbers here in Kildare in the Shannon yesterday and was speaking about maybe the necessity to recruit more numbers in an Garda Síochána, but also in the Garda Reserve. Here's what he had to say in the Shannon.
The Garda Reserve was, of course, launched by then Minister and current Senator McDowell with a view to bolstering policing in the Republic. The attention we were told at the time was the unpaid reservists could aid full-time Garda members during their duties and in some cases free them up for the most basic of tasks, thus helping to boost frontline policing. I too want to acknowledge, as other members of the House today, that Senator McDowell has raised this very important matter on a number of occasions in this House. The Garda Reserve as a concept has worked well in other countries, aiding policing at major events, for example, but now we are told and again confirmed today that the numbers have fallen below 400 and that recruitment, confirmed by Minister Harris, will not begin and not open until the end of this year and into the next. It has already been said, Minister, one of the key principles in policing anywhere in the world is and has always been visibility. I'm sure, like other members of this House, I am regularly told by so many people that we need Gardaí back on the streets, back walking amongst our communities. The Garda Reserve could have a crucial role to play in this visibility. I'm aware locally of the excellent community guard we have in Kildare. Our local community guard, Sean O'Mahony, is part of every community event in the area, offering advice, support and bringing the guard to the community in the way that these people I mentioned previously want to see Gardaí in their community. Unfortunately for us all in the area where I live, there is only one Garda O'Mahony. And that, Minister, as others have said, is why I think we need to do more with recruitment and indeed retention of the reserve Garda. They could assist our community Gardaí, offering further links to our communities, from our communities to Gardaí services. They could be the ones walking our streets, given that visibility that so many people are seeking at this time. They could be the ones assisting our community Gardaí with community events and expanding the social offerings of all of our communities. Having somebody at a community meeting that can give you the security advice, link in with traffic police and civil defence, is crucial in promoting our communities and ensuring that we have integration and social cohesion in all our communities. Other members have mentioned, it would be remiss of me not to mention as well, Minister, and to use the opportunity to once again put out a call for additional Gardaí in the area where I live, it's Kildare South, for the reasons I've just mentioned, but also for the following. The population of Kildare from the recently announced census in the last couple of days is 247,774. We are now part of the Laois Offaly area, whose combined population is 175,027, or some 72,000 less than Kildare's. Yet Kildare has still one of the lowest Garda numbers per head of population in the entire country. It is time to redistribute the Gardaí we have, Minister, to reflect the growth in County Kildare and reduce that per head of population. In a recent PQ to my Labour colleague Sean Sherlock, we learned that only one probationary Garda had been allocated to the Athy station in 8 years. This may have something to do with the definition of a training station, but it needs to change, Minister. In total, Kildare received 177 out of a national total of 4,029, of which the Athy station, as I've already mentioned, received one. The fourth largest county by population in Ireland is receiving less than 5% of the probationary Gardaí in this country. I know you will tell me in your reply, Minister, that it is a matter for the Garda Commissioner, but as Minister for Justice and Deputy Minister for Justice and Minister for State at the Department of Justice, I ask once again that this urgently be raised with him. In conclusion, you will see why Cathaoirleach, somebody from County Kildare, would welcome more reserve Gardaí. The Gardaí we have, as I've always said in this House, do a magnificent job. As I've always said, they are stretched beyond their limits, and something needs to change in my county to urgently reflect the population that's there. The Garda Reserve can and will and should play a part in that. Recruitment and retention is part of that. As has already been said, it's an issue we have in our defence forces. We can't allow it to obstruct the growth in Garda Reserve's numbers. I do support the call as well that before we start recruitment, Minister, as my colleague has said, we need to know why it is reduced from 1,500 or 2,000 high down to the less than 400 before we start asking people to join again. The volunteerism that's been mentioned by Senator McDowell is a problem that I come across, and I'm sure you come across every day in all our communities. So we can't let that be the obstacle to reserve Gardaí. But what we need and what we're all calling for today is more Gardaí on the beat. The reserve Garda has a role to play in that, and that's an issue that the government should take on. Recruitment should be driven as quickly as possible, but we also need to know why we've dropped so drastically from those high numbers of 2015 to where we are today. So once again, Las Cathaoirleach, the Labour Party supports the call, welcomes the debate, supports the Gardaí in everything they do in the community, but there is a need for more community-based Gardaí. There's a need for a reserve Gardaí to support those community Gardaí on the beat once again.